This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. The story has not faded from the headlines to be eclipsed by the next inevitable national crisis, at least not yet. The 17 people who lost their lives when a gunman opened fire at a high school in Parkland, Florida last week are still very much on the minds of Americans. And this being the age of instant online reaction to terrible events, words both thoughtful and terrible in reaction to the slaughter can be found everywhere on the internet. One essay that falls into the former category can be found on McSweeney's. It's an online magazine that offers mostly humorous fare, but has room for some satire with a strong bite as well, including Kimberly Harrington's piece called Please Don't Get Murdered at School Today. Here's an excerpt.
I'm sorry, I wish I had better news, but let's keep our sympathies where they belong, with the powerful and the armed, with those who feel threatened in the face of the most toothless efforts to hold back the bloodshed, and those who believe scary monster stories about their guns being taken away. Let's face it, it would be easier to take away the ocean or the stars.
And while you may naturally assume this essay was written in response to the events in Parkland, it actually appeared on the site in January of 2016. Kimberly Harrington is a copywriter and creative director from Burlington who contributes to McSweeney's as well as The New Yorker and other publications. Kimberly Harrington joins me now in our Colchester studios. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
So this essay is in the form of a conversation that you have with your child. Obviously, it's relatable to events that happened just last week, but this was written in 2016. What prompted you to write this 2 years ago?
It sort of took shape over time. And I think it's also very telling that when I went back and forth with the editor, McSweeney's, once he accepted it, that he said, well, we need to be careful not to run this too close to the next shooting. I was surprised he accepted it in the first place. It's quite dark. But where it really was inspired from was this place of me reflecting on my morning routine with my kids. I was really getting into this quite ritualistic habit of making sure I said I love you to them every single day that they left for school. But it would even come down to almost a superstitious level of saying I love you, that if we had gotten in a fight that morning and they ran out the door to the school bus, I would almost be shouting it after them because I had to tick that box every morning, even though I was simply sending them to school. I wasn't sending them off to war, but that's what it was starting to feel like.
You know how inflamed opinions on both sides of the gun control debate can get after something like this happens. And your essay actually seems to anticipate some of the very arguments that we're hearing even now after this latest round of shootings. For example, that some people who don't believe gun control laws will solve anything would rather focus on more money and resources going towards making schools themselves safer, more fortified. Perhaps even training educators in how to use weapons for defense in an instance like this. So I wonder if you would mind reading a section from your piece. There's a paragraph there I think is relevant.
Yes, I know. I know you're going to be late. Just to wrap up, our country has chosen to shift all of the weight regarding your safety away from our lawmakers and gun manufacturers and instead put it squarely on the shoulders of your principal and teachers. These people who kneel down on the first day of school so they're just as tall as you, these people who shake your hand and say good morning and help you rehearse for the spring concert and take you on field trips to see different rock formations, they are now in charge of keeping you from getting murdered, which really is the least they can do for all that money they make. Clearly, no one can see me shaking my head on the radio. It's insane that we think bulletproof backpacks and things along those lines are the answer.
Does anything feel different to you about the aftermath and the reaction from this latest atrocity? Because one thing I haven't seen before is the very vocal reaction of teenagers from this school.
It all felt the same to me, to be honest. We've been here so many times. In the wake of Sandy Hook, I really went down an incredibly dark rabbit hole when it came to media. I felt like I couldn't stop watching what was happening. I felt like if I kept watching, maybe if I kept reading and watching what was happening, that it would take a little bit of the grief and sorrow away from the parents. You know, the least I could do was bear witness to what had happened. And of course, that's not what happens. You just watch the same story over and over again. It doesn't help. And so I stepped back a little bit from media But I did see the amazing speech during the rally, and I felt I was in tears, clearly, which is not very hard for me. I felt hope, really, for the first time in a very long time. The anger and the intelligence and the power of the voices that we're seeing from those affected at that school, I think, have enormous potential to make change. And I truly, truly hope that it does.
My daughter came bounding home from school the day that Parkland happened, blissfully oblivious. She's not been listening to the radio or watching TV on this. And, you know, she came in the door. I gave her this extra long hug. And her reaction was, "Dad, I have to go to the bathroom. You're going to hug me in a minute." You know, and she went off and did it. And I thought, okay, maybe I'm being overly dramatic here. Until a couple days later, I found myself reading news over the air about a teenager who was charged with attempted murder for allegedly planning the same kind of carnage right here at a school in Vermont.
Right.
I wonder what the thoughts were going through your mind when you heard about that Rutland story just after Parkland.
I was aware of it. I certainly don't feel like nothing like this will ever happen in Vermont. We see it happen in every community. This country is just getting so numb.
Liberals and conservatives in this country can have totally different views on things like gun control. But it's not like one group has kids and the other doesn't.
Right.
You know, do you think there's an opportunity here at all to reach a common sense compromise that can get us at least closer to doing something about the one thing that every sane person agrees should not be happening, which is kids being mowed down by rapid gunfire at their schools?
Mm-hmm. Your question reminds me of a moment that I had with someone I went to high school with who is a member of the NRA. And we got into a huge debate over guns. I was living in Portland, Oregon at the time. I was in my bubble. He was in his bubble. And we really kind of went at it. And then he pointed out, he's like, but the difference is my son, if he's in a friend's house and sees a gun, he knows exactly what to do. He knows how to handle it, essentially. And it was the first time where I really thought, like, okay, I have an academic argument, but if my kids or I was in that situation, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to handle it. I can see a situation where a child stumbles across a gun, thinks it's a toy, doesn't know how to handle it. So I think that there can be those opportunities if we respect the person we're talking to have those conversations and to realize that each person has a piece of the puzzle that is probably useful. Again, I go back to the assault rifle thing. It doesn't seem that we should be worried about children going to school because of someone's hobby. I feel like there are so many responsible gun owners who keep coming forward, who keep expressing willingness. This is the epitome of a situation where there are many things that can be done.
Kimberly Harrington is a copywriter and creative director from Burlington who contributes to McSweeney's as well as The New Yorker and other publications. Her book coming out May 1st is called Amateur Hour, Motherhood in Essays and Swear Words. And Kimberly, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you.